Here is a special reminder for our on-demand and podcast listeners. KFUO will be celebrating our worldwide ministry with Share-a-thon 2016, a three-day live event Thursday, April 21st through Saturday, April 23rd. Listen on our worldwide stream and on AM 850 KFUO in St. Louis. Join us and enjoy all the live fun, plus hear from some of your favorite on-air friends. Again, Share-a-thon 2016 is April 21st through April 23rd. If you can't listen live during our 3 days of Share-a-thon, remember you can support us online anytime at KFUO.org. Just click a Give Now button on our website, or you can email us and ask us about other giving options. Email gifts at KFUO.org. It's KFUO supporters like you who make these worldwide online programs possible. Please prayerfully consider supporting KFUO today. And thank you for listening and supporting KFUO.
You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Wednesday, April 20th, and it's time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us by phone this morning, the Reverend Travis Downs from Trinity Lutheran Church in Lansing, Michigan. Pastor Downs, good morning and welcome to His Time.
Good morning and thank you for the invite. I have to say you must have planned LWML Wednesday. I was listening to Patty before in the previous segment. I'm district counselor for the Michigan district of the LWML and was pleased to be at the Des Moines convention when Patty was elected.
She's great. She's a wonderful guest. Always love talking with her about LWML. They do great work, and I love that that they support so many missions, so much work around the world. It was nice to talk with her this morning.
Oh, yeah, it was great to hear her, too.
Well, very good. Well, tell us about Trinity Lutheran Church in Lansing, Michigan.
Well, Trinity Lutheran Church is one of the oldest churches. It was established 1871, and we've been on the same corner ever since. We've seen the population of the city expand and decline, and population of the neighborhood go through various changes. But Trinity's always been here proclaiming the gospel and sharing the good news. We've begun some programs that are kind of exciting. We've established a in July, an opportunity for some Christian bands to join us and praise the Lord through music on our steps. And this year, by God's grace, we're going to have a mission festival in June where we invite all the folks we work with in the area and have a special featured speaker for our Sunday afternoon service. And, you know, Lord's been good, and we are in a place where the word is needed. And so we're having a great time doing it.
Well, thanks be to God that that the ministry of Trinity Lutheran Church in Lansing is proclaiming the good news of Jesus and delivering the good gifts of God there. Pastor, we're studying Luke chapter 10 today, verses 1 through 22. What would you like for us to know as we begin to look at this text?
Well, you know, again, I was struck by the fact that Patty was on. It's a mission text. first and foremost a mission text. And it kind of... what we'll be looking at today kind of follows Luke 9, at the end of Luke 9 there, where Jesus is being pretty firm on the focus on him over everything else. You know, the folks saying, well, we'd like to follow you, and Jesus says, well, that's fine, but understand there's nowhere to lay your head. He said to another man, follow me, and Lord, let me go bury my father. And Jesus kind of bluntly says, let them bury their own dead, but you proclaim the kingdom of God. And then he goes on with, let me go take care of my family and say goodbye. And then Jesus says, well, no, anyone who puts his hand in the plow and looks back. I mean, it really seems as if Jesus is getting to a point where saying, if you're going to do this, you do it completely. And that's what sets up what we'll be studying today.
All right, so Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 22. We're studying with Pastor Travis Downs at Trinity Lutheran Church in Lansing, Michigan. If you have a question or a comment today, give us a call, send us an email. The number's 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. The email address, kfuo@kfuo.org. Let's take a look. Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you, heal the sick in it, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you.' Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town." So, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go.
Yeah, I've often thought of, maybe I'm dating myself, but I remember the day when circuses would come to town, and they'd always have advance people. And they'd go out and put up the posters, and they'd tell what was happening and what was going to come. And in some respects, one of the functions of these 72 is to do just that. I mean, we get that phrase, and it sent them to every town and place where he was about to go. So he sends them out and sends them out with the task and a mission. The kingdom of God is on the way, and really speaking to Jesus himself.
And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest."
You know, there's a proverb, "There's nothing new under the sun. What is, has been, and will be again." And we look at the reality of the phenomenal field that's there and how few workers there really are. And I guess this prayer to the Lord of the harvest should be ours today to raise up people to proclaim the good news of salvation. You know, people like the women of our mission, Lutheran Women's Missionary League, our Lutheran Layman's League, to pray earnestly for people to be led to our seminaries. Because it's true, there is a tremendous harvest field, and we need to pray to the Lord of the harvest to provide the workers.
"Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves."
Do I really have to go? You know, we live in a society that is raising up more and more against the people of God. More and more we are being assaulted, more and more we're being, you know, as our Lord predicted, defamed and lied about because of his name. When we realize that we're amongst wolves, we also have to trust the Good Shepherd, that Good Shepherd that protects us against all those wolves. As David protected his flocks, as our Lord protects us. It is not a politically correct place that the church finds itself in, but we are convicted of the truth, and that's what we hold to, even in the midst of all those wolves out there.
You know, that as you said, "Do I have to go?" That reminds me of a song back in the 90s, I believe it was. An artist called Scott Wesley Brown recorded a song. It was kind of a humorous song called "Please Don't Send Me to Africa."
Yeah.
About how the Lord sends some of us to serve as missionaries in places where we might not be comfortable, because it's a totally different culture and environment for us. But it's a humorous song about it, but we're thankful for those the Lord does call to serve and proclaim the good news of Jesus in places that are certainly outside their comfort zone. Well, go your way, verse 3 says, go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, carry no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Don't take anything with you. That's interesting.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of intriguing when you look at how Jesus establishes his missionaries and how we often find ourselves establishing missions. Jesus says, don't go with anything. Don't worry about anything. Don't greet anyone on the road. You've got a purpose. You've got to focus. Get there and do your job. And we look at our framework and we say, well, we need to do some studies to make sure that where we're going is a place where we can actually work. You know, we need to provide seed funds, and we need to provide support for our missionaries. I mean, we have to do all of these different things. And Jesus says, don't worry about it, just go and do the job. And, you know, it's kind of intriguing when we look at that. You know, the question is raised, and I raised it later this morning, would we be comfortable doing the type of mission outreach that Jesus is directing there? Take nothing with you, no bag, no purse, no sandals. Don't greet anyone on the road. And you know, can such a procedure work? Well, one of the great books out there, if you ever have an opportunity to look at it, it's called God's Smuggler by Brother Andrew, published by Baker House. It's the story of a young man who is convicted of the Lord to reach out to the community, but his training includes an internship where he's sent out into a field with equivalent of about $5. He's supposed to spend a year in the field witnessing and sharing the good news of salvation. And he says, well, there'd be a lot of fundraising. Oh, you're not allowed to raise funds. Oh, well, that kind of stifles it. Oh, and by the way, when you come back, we want the $5 back. I'm sorry. I'm not sure I could do that. But he does an effective job of it. If you ever get a chance, God's Smuggler by Brother Andrew.
Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you and remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. We'll go in a little bit further here. So when you go to a house, first say, peace be to this house.
Yeah, the Greek here is for the same peace that Jesus offers in the upper room when he says peace, be with you to the disciples in their fear. It's intriguing to me the framework for this. If a man of peace is there, you will your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. And that's always a bit of a problem to me. Is it some sort of a tangible reality that when you give it, it is visible and palpable, or is it when we often have we wish somebody peace and the reaction we get is not peaceful but hostile? And I think the reality is that often you and I will reach out with the peace of the Lord and be rebuffed. And I think that's the type of peace that Jesus wishes us to have, that peace that alone comes from him and that we are privileged to share.
So peace be upon this house, and if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him, but if not, it will return to you and remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide for you, for the laborer deserves his wages. Don't go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. They're taking care of you. Eat what they feed you. Don't just bounce around from house to house.
Yeah, you don't stay at a place based on the menu. I've always been intrigued by this when you start looking at whatever they give you, give them thanks. I've had an interesting occasion many years ago to officiate at a wedding of a Chinese couple who spoke English. They were part of our congregation. Their family came from China, and we went out to a Chinese restaurant where they had the traditional Chinese wedding feast. And I had a friend that was able to translate Chinese sitting next to me, and he would tell me what the various dishes were. And then he passed a dish to me and said, try this. And I said, what is it? He said, never mind, try it. It was delicious. I never did figure out what it was. But, again, whatever served, you eat. And I think the challenge is not to move around from house to house. Not to make a complete parallel, but I wonder sometimes if when we look at the divine call to a congregation, pastors aren't tempted to look for greener pastures at some point. There was a time when you were out of the seminary, you went to a parish, and that's where you remained for your life. And now the average first placement is 3 years. The average call length is 5 to 6 years. And I wonder sometimes if we need to go back and revisit this a little bit. Do not move around from house to house.
Heal the sick in it. Say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. What does this mean? The kingdom of God has come near to you.
Well, who are the 72 working for? Working for the Lord. The embodiment of the kingdom of God. And remember going back to the commission Jesus sends them out on to every place where he was about to go. And so the kingdom of God is near, and we are here to share that with you and here to share with you that you will be in the very presence of the one God has sent for that very purpose, to reveal and fulfill all of the requirements of the contract of salvation. He's near.
But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off. I skipped verse 9, sorry. Heal the sick in it. Say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Heal the sick. What about healing here? He says, heal the sick in it.
Well, and again, all of the authority that Jesus has, he's passing on. And heal the sick. If those that have need, you're given my authority to do this in my name. And again, let them know something new is going on. Something is about to happen in your town that you so desperately need. And it's a very simple statement. Heal them. I know. There's a challenge in our Western understanding of the Gospels. Do we experience healing today? Is there power in laying on of hands to do away with illnesses? I was privileged to talk to a pastor from Jamaica not too many years ago, and we were having this discussion, and he says, in the West, you have a tendency to medicate demons. We cast them out. And, I wonder sometimes if we need to revisit some of Jesus's commands to his people and through his word to us. So, heal them.
And then whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town.
Jesus is, we have a tendency to revisit our mistakes over and over and over again. I think sometimes we need to look at what Jesus says here. If it's going to work, it's going to work. If it doesn't, don't waste your time. Shake the dust off and move on. And, I have seen in my ministry times where we've worked in an area just devoutly and sincerely in trying to do a mission plant, and it never went and never went, and it got to a point where it was clear it wasn't going to go, but by golly, we're going to make it work. I think sometimes Jesus is saying, if it isn't happening, don't waste your time and shake the dust off your feet and move on. And I think that's something we have a hard time doing, but that's what our Lord commands.
Anything,
and the reality is, if you reject, if you reject that message, if you reject the reality of the kingdom of God being near, he says it'd be more tolerable, bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. And we know from the Old Covenant what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah in being utterly destroyed.
We're studying the Daily New Testament reading with Pastor Travis Downs from Trinity Lutheran Church in Lansing, Michigan. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue our study in Luke chapter 10, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. The email address, kfuo@kfuo.org.
Do you believe that KFUO and the Worldwide Proclamation of the Gospel is worthy of your support? KFUO will be celebrating our worldwide ministry with Charathon 2016, a three-day live event Thursday, April 21st through Saturday, April 23rd. Listen on our worldwide stream and on AM 850 KFUO in St. Louis. Join us and enjoy all the live fun, plus hear from some of your favorite on-air friends. Again, Charathon 2016 is April 21st through April 23rd. If you can't listen live during our 3 days of Charathon, remember you can support us online anytime at KFUO.org. Just click a Give Now button on our website, or you can email us and ask us about other giving options. Email gifts at KFUO.org. It's KFUO supporters like you who make these worldwide online programs possible. Please prayerfully consider supporting KFUO today. And thank you for listening and supporting KFUO, the messenger of good news.
You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Wednesday, April 20th. We're studying the Daily New Testament reading in Luke chapter 10 today, verses 1 through 22. Our guest pastor, the Reverend Travis Downs, pastor at Trinity Lutheran Church in Lansing, Michigan. Pastor, are we ready to go on to the next section? We've made it up through verse 12.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a look. Verse 13. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes, but it will be more bearable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You shall be brought down to Hades. The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Wow. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida.
You know, it's interesting. Jesus is the archetypical preacher of law and gospel. But by golly, the law is here. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago. You've had all the evidence. You've had all the manifestation of the Holy One of God being in your midst, doing all of these great miracles. And, you know, the prophet Isaiah, I believe it was, who said, having eyes they see not, and having ears they hear not. Many, many years ago, there was a movie out, Santa Claus with Tim Allen. And there was a cute little scene in there where the Tim Allen character, Santa Claus, is talking to the little elf, Judy. And he says, I see. Is that truly a polar bear directing traffic? And Judy says, well, yes. Well, I see it, but I don't believe it. And Judy's response was profound, and I think it's a good insight. You've got it backwards. Seeing is not believing. Believing is seeing. And so often we see all that this is going around, but we don't believe it, and we just have a hard time with it. The number of times I hear people say, well, why doesn't God do miracles like he used to? And he does. He does them every single day. But we have eyes that don't see them and ears that don't hear. And you know, we need, by God's good and gracious gift of the Holy Spirit, to have our ears open and our eyes open to see. But if we remain closed in our understanding, well, the bottom line is the judgment, and it's not a pleasant place.
For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? you shall be brought down to Hades.
Remember what Jesus did a lot of his ministry? Capernaum? remember when he's in his hometown, why don't you heal like you everywhere else? And he says, a prophet has honor except in his hometown. Again, if we don't, by God's grace, receive and perceive, well, those bad towns, those really bad towns of Tyre and Sidon, that horrible, horrible place that were clearly understood by everybody in Jesus' hearing to be really bad places, he's saying, they'll come off better in the judgment. And, wait a minute, that's not fair, but that's the reality. I like what verse 16 says, and I think this is something that we really need to tap on. He who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. And often we share the good news with people in whatever our vocation and lives, and we feel hurt because it's rejected. But bottom line, they're not just necessarily rejecting the messenger, but they're rejecting the message, and they're rejecting the one who sent the message, namely the Almighty God that created the heavens and earth, who sustains them every day. And that is not something one wants to do lightly.
Anything else up through verse 16 before we talk about the return of the 72?
We have such limited time. There's a whole lot of things to do. There's at least five good sermons in this text. But with time, I think we should move on.
Verse 17, the 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Now, you're not handling venomous snakes, are you?
I try to avoid them at all possible situations. I know there are parts of our country where proof of faith is to put your hand in a basket of venomous snakes and you survive. I don't think that's what our Lord is saying here. I think our Lord is simply saying, I've given you all authority. And if it's necessary, fine. But I think bottom line, to overcome all the power of the enemy. And I think that bottom line is saying God has given his people the authority over the devil, the victory over him. And, we can get really pumped over that. And I think verse 20 kind of puts them in their place. Because remember, these 72 come back really pumped. Wow, we saw all this neat stuff. We were casting demons out in your name. And Jesus says, yeah, that's right. I gave you that authority. But don't rejoice over that, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And I think that is the greatest victory of all, that in spite of all of this nonsense and all of the stuff we go through, we have the assurance by God's gracious gift of faith that we are recorded in the book of heaven, and that will be our home. The lesson from this last week in Revelation, all the people in white robes, well, who are these? And John says, well, you know who they are. These are the ones who have come out of the tribulation and who have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. These are the folks that have held together by God's gracious gift and put up with the nonsense of this world and have remained firm. And so no matter how great our victories, our bottom line is we rejoice that our names are written in heaven.
So the proof is not in trying to demonstrate something with venomous snakes or scorpions, but the proof is in God's word, the promises we have in God's word, all that Christ has done for us and that we see, we read, we hear in God's word.
Exactly, and it's the word that has the power, and we are privileged to have that word. I'm personally kind of pumped that in the Lansing area, We are planning on a very large celebration of the 500th anniversary of the nailing of the 95 theses. We have a large event center called the Breslin Center, and the Michigan District has secured that for next year. We're hoping to have, 25,000 people gathering and lifting up their voices in praise. Because of the gift of the word that we have and the authority of that word, which puts paid to the devil, puts paid to the flesh, puts paid to the world. And that's our sure foundation in Jesus Christ. So in that reality, the whole theory or the whole fact of being in the lamb, in the sheepfold of Jesus, we only know that from his word.
Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Anything else, Pastor, verses 17 through 20?
I think that should take care of it for now.
All right. Let's take a look at verses 21 and 22. In that same hour, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. And no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him.
Yeah, I love this this passage. Thank you, the Lord of Heaven, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned, and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. Unless you have the faith of a little child, you can't enter the kingdom of God. I think when one becomes wise and learned, one forgets that we really know so very, very little. And children, they're such a beautiful gift to us. When, we share something with them to our children, because we're dead, well, that's right, by golly. And I think we have seen how often the church has suffered from within by the wise and learned. I look at one of the challenges that the scripture was assailed with a book many years ago called Demythologizing the Scriptures by a German Lutheran theologian. But he was wise and he was learned. I look at the, when you start looking at some of the things we see in print, challenging the clarity of Scripture and arguing against it by the wise and the learned. The child says, well, that's what Dad said. That's what it is. And I also join in saying, thank you, Father, for hiding these things from the wise and learned and giving to them to little children. And the other thing that I rejoice at, all things have been committed to me by my Father. No one who knows the Son knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. We see the upper room when Jesus is getting ready, believe in me, and my Father's house are many mansions, and it continues through there. And then Philip says, well, show us the Father. And he says, if you know me, you know the Father. And so the blessed gift that we have in his word to know who he is, what he says, what he has promised and kept, really, really is a comforting reality for the people of God as we move through this more and more chaotic time.
All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him.
The other thing that tags in with this, all things have been granted to me by the Father, that when we look at the Great Commission, it begins, I have all authority, therefore I say to you. And when we look at organizations like Lutheran Women's Missionary League, the Lutheran Layman's League, all of our various people that are out in the field, they're doing it under the very authority of God. And that should give great confidence to the work. No matter how it may be received, the message never changed. Where it's received, we rejoice. Where it's not received, we move on. And I think when we look at the framework of this mission commission in these verses, we should take a great deal of hope and a renewal of our opportunities.
Pastor, as we look over the text as a whole, just about a minute left. Anything else you'd like for us to learn from this text in Luke chapter 10 today?
I guess bottom line, when the Lord tells you to do something, do it. And when you've accomplished it, don't expect a whole lot of pats on the back, but just give God thanks that you're privileged to be a part of that great mission and great opportunity to share the reality of the kingdom of God being at hand. You know, especially after coming off of Easter now and you know, all of those things, we get into the summer months and the mission doesn't stop. The authority doesn't stop. The tasks don't stop during the summer months. But rather, we are privileged to continue. So bottom line, hey, he told us to do a job. We need to be about doing it.
Well, thanks be to God for his word, for his instruction, and certainly for his assurance that he gives us in Christ Jesus. Pastor, thanks for being our guest today, helping us study in Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 22.
Well, I'm going to be honest, I really enjoy these opportunities. This is the second time I've had the opportunity, and I really rejoice. And thank you guys for the ministry that you do there at KFUO. And I pray that God blesses your day and blesses the day of all those working there. Thank you very much.
Thank you. God bless you and all the saints at Trinity Lutheran Church in Lansing, Michigan. Coming up in just a little bit, it is time for Witness Wednesday. If you have a question for Witness Wednesday, our email address, lassie@kfuo.org. That's lassie@kfuo.org. The listener lines are open as well today, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. The email address, 314-821. I'm sorry, the email address. That's the phone number. That's the St. Louis number, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.